in the news. But right now, let's bring in our TSN hockey insider, Darren Dreger. And Dregs, it appears that the Cats are getting out of the bag here.
Yeah. And Gord, you would know this. National Hockey League head office can't be happy. Ownership in Seattle, obviously not happy. I mean, this is part of the spectacle and a small part of why you invest $650 million in an expansion fee, is to own the spotlight. And maybe tonight's show at 8 p.m. Eastern isn't a bigger deal in our world from a fan perspective, from an ownership management perspective, and from a league head office perspective. It is. I mean, this is
absolutely
this is a big part of it. However, you know, we do what we have to do, and it's no different than free agent frenzy or the trade deadline, any of that. You know, when Ron Francis has to reach out to the player directly or the player agent or the general manager that he's claiming that player from, well, the information gets out at that point, right?
Yeah.
And our job is to dispense, well, first of all, find that information and then report it accordingly. So part of me at 53 years of age, Gord, feels a little bit for taking my 20-year-old son is at work today,
yeah.
And Mason Dreger is ripping on me.
Why?
Because he's like, what's the point of watching the show tonight if you guys are leaking all of this information? I'm
wow.
like, son, you've only been around me for 20 years. Yeah. Is this new to you?
I was going to say, Mason, like, Mason, do you have a different dad? Like, there's something. But you know what? I mean, it is interesting you say that because there are certain events where the results are known, but they're embargoed. Now, you know, if you want to get, you know, the federal budget. Now, there's a reason for that, of course, because the markets can be affected by leaks. So what they do is reporters go into what's called a lockup, and they're told what's in the budget, and they can't reveal it until after the finance minister announces. But there's economic ramifications for that. This is
right.
just unfortunate. Like, Dregs, if we find out between now and Friday who Buffalo's taking first overall in the draft, we're reporting it.
Of course.
Like, you know, and we would do that if we were the rights holder or not. You know, and one of the hard things to do is to sit back as the rights holder sometimes. I'm sure the Seattle broadcasters are being told not to leak this stuff, even if they know it. So they're sitting back and watching everyone else report this. So let's get into the nuts and bolts of this. And let's start with the Leafs. So they lose Jared McCann. So they traded a seventh-round pick in 2023 and Philip Hollander, a prospect who's a little older, to Pittsburgh. It winds up being to protect Alex Kerfoot, right?
Yes, in essence. But the truth is, when they acquired Jared McCann, you're right, that McCann was going to be an insurance policy, or Kerfoot was part of the insurance plan. You know, if Seattle takes Kerfoot, and we know that it's Jared McCann that the Kraken have claimed, but now Toronto is okay up front in that 3C hole. Toronto really didn't want to lose Hall on the back end, which is why they acquired McCann, so that they could devise the strategy and go with the formation that they took in submitting their protected and their unprotected list. So it turns out to be Jared McCann in a very short-lived time with the Toronto Maple Leafs, and they essentially lose, as you've identified, Hollander and that seventh pick in expansion. So, you know, if you're a fan of Jared McCann and you're a Maple Leafs fan and you are intrigued as to what he might look like in a Maple Leaf uniform, all right, I guess you miss out on the mystery of what that might have looked like. But you know what you've got in Alex Kerfoot,
right?
And the Maple Leafs didn't do any damage to their blue line. So I think that Kyle Dubas is over the moon right now. You know, McCann's a good hockey player. I'm sure he'll do well in Seattle. But a very familiar piece in Alex Kerfoot stays put, and they don't lose anything from their blue line. I honestly think this was shrewd work by Kyle Dubas not to have to make a deal with Seattle, but instead he makes the deal with Pittsburgh, doesn't have to overpay to acquire Jeremy McCann, and he covers himself off in his protected list.
Now let's talk about the big headline of the day, league-wide, is that Seattle passed on Carey Price. I don't know that. I mean, for me, he didn't seem to fit their profile. A $10.5 million contract for an older guy who may have to have surgery and be out for who knows how long. But his wife is from Washington State. He's from BC. He's a big star, and let's, you know, again, you're always, you know, replaying the last game. 2017, Vegas took Marc-Andre Fleury, who was not Pittsburgh's starting goaltender in either of those two Stanley Cup wins. That was Matt Murray. So are you surprised that Seattle passed on Carey Price?
I'm not surprised. You know, aside from the story of Carey Price, which we all know is tremendous, and the most recent chapter, perhaps the most intriguing as well, right? I mean, Montreal doesn't get to the Stanley Cup final without the game of Carey Price. But you look at the term remaining on that contract, a mammoth deal. It's a business for the Seattle Kraken, no different than it is any other team in the league. And then you've got some of the other obvious stuff, right? Price is in New York today seeing a doctor for an ailing hip. You know, it's believed he's going to have a procedure on his knees. So you've got a goaltender with questionable health, whether short-term or long-term, doesn't matter. You've got that contract. You've got Chris Driedger, who we knew that the Seattle Kraken had already essentially worked out a deal with coming. And you've got a laundry list of other options that are more affordable. And look, the celebrity of Carey Price, I don't think matters, Gord. Maybe it does to you. The Seattle Kraken of what, 35,000 people waiting on a list for season tickets? Yeah. You know, they're not trying to sell the brand of the Seattle Kraken. So again, the story of Carey Price, the respect that everybody has in Price, the character of the man, that is not to be questioned here as Seattle goes in a different direction. I think that they had a plan in place prior to Carey acknowledging that he was willing to waive. And you know Ron Francis as well as I do. When he makes his mind up on something, he's not going to be pushed off of that unless there's great reason to be pushed off of that. And, you know, fortunately, I would say, for the Montreal Canadiens, you know, they dodge a bit of a bullet here, and Carey Price remains in Montreal.
And the bottom line is, Dregs, you know, you talked about it. Montreal doesn't get to the final without Carey Price, but let's not forget, they don't make the playoffs without Jake Allen. When Price 100%. When Price was out. So the gamble pays off for Montreal, because with Carey Price's health in question, losing Jake Allen would be unthinkable. So they take the chance, and it pays off. Speaking of that, we're talking with Darren Drager, our TSN Hockey Insider, and there's a ton to talk about. We got lots to get to besides Seattle. We'll get to those in a moment. But Calgary losing Mark Giordano. This, to me, is interesting because we knew from our reporting leading up to this that Calgary wanted to keep Mark Giordano. The understanding was the price that Seattle was asking to go buy him in the expansion draft was really high. So there's been a lot of talk among management people, and I spoke to some this morning, that the lesson of 2017 was just lose one player. You know, Minnesota gave up Alex Tuch to Seattle in exchange for protecting their two defensemen, Matt Dumba and Marco Scandella, and they also lost Eric Halla. The feeling was that more managers this time around would say, just take a player. We're not giving you anything. We'll just lose a player. Does it sound to you like at the end of the day that's what Calgary decided?
Yeah, and you know, that's tough for Brad Treliving. This is not an easy day for the Flames organization. You know, Mark Giordano has been nothing but a tremendous leader. But, you know, again, to play the business card one more time, this whole process has been gutting for every general manager in the National Hockey League because of the decisions that you've had to make. And for anyone who doesn't think that Brad Treliving tried to keep Ron Francis off of Mark Giordano, well, then you're not as plugged in as you think you are, because he tried. But to just give you an example, and I don't know the specifics in terms of the player being a top prospect or a young roster player, what the ask was specifically from the Calgary Flames. I just know that Francis was asking for effectively a first and a third. So a first-round draft pick and a third-round draft pick. Now, that first-round draft pick might have been a former first-round draft pick, right? A young player making his way. But that was, in essence, what the ask was. That's tough. That's tough. And, you know, even though, you know, Mark Giordano, I don't know, is he looking for a fresh start? I mean, there's part of going into something like this that I think would be enticing and exciting, but he also has a family. He's got to uproot. That's never easy. So there's a lot of negatives that can be applied to losing Giordano and Giordano having to leave the Calgary Flames. But Brad Treliving did not develop this process. You know, every team, to your point, Gord, had to down, and you're 100% right when you look at what managers tried to accomplish, and some did, and a lot lost in the process of trying to keep McCrimmon and George McPhee away in 2017. So you're right. They went at it this way. Look, I'm going to try. I'm going to make my call. We're going to negotiate, but I'm not giving you a first and third to stay away from my player. So that, in essence, is what happened. They just, there's no sense. You're losing one really good piece, be it Mark Giordano or any other player that's been claimed here by Seattle. Why lose two when you know you're going to lose one?
So that's in retrospect, Driggs. When teams look back on it, you know, Florida lost Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault. You know, we talked about Minnesota, the two players they lost. There were also a number of deals for financial reasons. Are you hearing anything on the Tampa front? Because, I mean, obviously, Tampa has to make moves. And if they don't make a deal with Seattle, the number of teams that can take on the contracts that they have to unload is a pretty small one.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything yet. But, I mean, Julian Breeswell has time here. Not a lot, but he has some time. I think that he was disappointed, maybe even frustrated, that he wasn't able to gain a lot of traction with Ron Francis in trying to sort through all of this. I think all of us just expected that Yanni Gord would be claimed, unless, you know, Breezeball was willing to do what we just talked about in relation to Jared Allen and the Calgary Flames, and that's overpay to keep Francis away from Yanni Gord. But if it's not Yanni Gord, then it's somebody else. But when the trade freeze lifts on Thursday, you know, then again, I think that's where Breezeball, Tampa Lightning, and so many other teams really get going. They can continue to have conversations with Ron Francis. Maybe today's not a great day for it. I don't know. Maybe it is. Francis has time to kill. He had to submit his list at 10 o'clock this morning. But you know this, Gord, because we went through it last year as well. Nobody in the league is looking to do Julian Breezeball a favor.
No.
Why would you?
No, of course. No. And why wouldn't you wait him out? If he can't get something done with Seattle, 100% wait him out. By the way, in the time we've been talking, reports that Carson Soucy has been picked by Seattle from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Pierre LeBrun reporting that Alexander True, a forward, has been taken by Seattle from San Jose, or from San Jose by Seattle. Nathan Bastian from New Jersey, that was expected. And Curtis McDermott, Frank Saravelli, is reporting that Curtis McDermott's going from LA. So that's now, I think we're at 11. They're only picking 30 players. I talked to George McPhee a couple of days ago, the president of hockey operations in Vegas. He said a couple of their picks leaked out, but for the most part, their show that night was pretty much intact. It wasn't known that night. Let's get, there's so much to get to, Dregs.
Can I just interject with one more here? Because this one surprises me. I'm told that Seattle did not take Max Domi from the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Really?
Yeah, that surprises me a bit. Now we'll iron out who they actually ended up selecting. I know that there was a bit of injury concern with Max Domi. Gavin Bayreuther?
Yeah.
Bayreuther.
Could be Dean Kukin. I think he's unprotected as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's Bayreuther.
Okay, so this is, I mean, this is getting really, I mean, wow. So listen, there's a couple of things we've got to get to before we go with Darren Drager, our TSN Hockey Insider. We're going to talk to Jim Rutherford, longtime NHL GM, will join us at 12:30. And, of course, he was right in the thick of things in 2017. Like Tampa, coming off back-to-back Stanley Cup wins, was in cap jail, had to make some moves and move Marc-Andre Fleury. And it's easy to criticize him afterwards, but that was a deal he had to make because they weren't losing Matt Murray, who'd just been their starting goalie in back-to-back cup wins. Let's talk about free agency. We know Adam Hall has gone to Seattle. We know that Jamie Oleksiak's gone to Seattle. What's going on with Taylor Hall? I think we lost him. We'll get back to, of course, Taylor Hall is currently a property of the Boston Bruins, and there are reports out there that he's negotiating an extension to stay in Boston. So we're awaiting word on that. We also have news today that Dave Cameron, who was former head coach in Ottawa in the NHL and the former coach of the Canadian National Junior Team, will be back. He's going to coach the Ottawa 67s this year, and he will coach the Canadian National Junior Team in Edmonton in 2022. And there's some, if you want to call it synchronicity there. The idea was this year that Andre Tournier would come back and coach the Canadian junior team and have a chance to avenge the gold medal game loss in 2021 to Team USA. Instead, it'll be Dave Cameron. He'll get a chance to avenge the loss in the 2011 gold medal game to Russia. You'll remember the collapse in the third period in Buffalo. Dave Cameron suffered that crushing defeat along with the Canadian players. And so Cameron gets a chance to coach Canada at the World Junior and will coach the Ottawa 67. So that's all part of the news today, and there's more breaking every moment. And here's Dregs back. So, Dregs, sorry, you and Ray Ferraro can't get cell service in your own homes, which does amaze me. Tell us about Taylor Hall. What's going on with Boston?
Yeah, it's closing in, Gord. It is closing in. Yeah, I'm not quite a place where I'm willing to say it's 100% likely getting done here, but real close. I mean, Taylor Hall wants to stay in Boston. He's been a real good fit there. Mm-hmm. There's still some work to get done. I believe it's going to be a four-year term. Anything around $6 million is going to be, I think, good value.
Okay.
You can call it a bargain for the Boston Bruins. So it'll track somewhere around there. But there's been a lot of dialogue, and they've made a lot of work get done here in the last couple of days.
What about Vladimir Tarasenko? What's going on there? Seattle didn't take him, so Vince Dunn is their
now,
pick.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that there's some fear around the league as to his health, number one, with a number of shoulder issues and surgeries that Vladimir Tarasenko has had. There might be a market for Tarasenko on the trade front, Gord, but it seems now likely that Doug Armstrong and the St. Louis Blues are going to have to sweeten it, right, to some degree. And maybe that means retaining some of his salary. He's a bit disgruntled. I don't think that we know even half of the story
right.
Coming out of Seattle. That might spook some general managers as well. But I'm not surprised he wasn't taken. I am hearing kind of rumblings again that Armstrong is willing to get creative, and this is the week to do it, right? With the draft now right around the corner.
All right. So before we let you go here, by the way, we'll keep updating picks throughout the day as we find them out. But we mentioned Dave Cameron as the head coach now of the Ottawa 67s. And instead of Andre Tournier getting a chance to avenge a gold medal game loss at the World Junior from last year, it'll be Dave Cameron's chance to avenge the loss from 11 years ago in Buffalo.
Yeah, and look, you know this. You're well connected with Hockey Canada and the good people there as well. Dave Cameron has a special place in the hearts of the brass at Hockey Canada. He's a good man. He's had some tough times from a coaching perspective, but he just keeps grinding it away and treats people the right way. So I don't think that Hockey Canada at all is concerned with what happened historically speaking. They're just happy to have a man of his pedigree, his experience, and just what he brings to the international stage. So I know that they were happy for him to get the job in Ottawa as head coach of the 67s, and thrilled to be able to announce him today as head coach for Team Canada.
And by the way, reports from Seattle indicate that their pick from Carolina is Morgan Geekie, a center from Strathclair, Manitoba.
Yep.
He's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So Ron Francis would know him from his time there. Had 3 goals in 36 games this year.
You want me to age myself here, Gord?
Sure. Please.
His dad, Craig Geekie, was a defenseman for the Brandon Wheat Kings when I called play-by-play for the Brandon Wheat Kings way back in the day. So that's how old I am. But Kevin Cheveldayoff was also on that team. Jeff Rogers. I mean, go down the list. Yeah. So, man.
So I'm wondering, Dregs. I'm wondering, Dregs, if by 8 o'clock Eastern time there'll be any picks that aren't known.
No.
I mean, we're coming up on 12:30 Eastern here. We're almost halfway through the players they've picked.
No, and we're just going to keep grinding away. I mean, are we must be past half by this stage. I mean, every time I look at Twitter, there's another, and I've got a couple of years stashed that haven't come out yet. So
what?
It'll,
spill the tea, buddy. What do you got for us?
No, I can't. No, I already gave you one. I gave you the Max Domi one, which I haven't already tweeted. Well, I shouldn't have said what I just said, because the person who just gave me one of them, which is a decent one, said don't say anything for a little bit here. So I'm going to have to keep my word, Gord. Oh,
and I don't blame you. You're a good man. All right, Dregs, this has been quite a morning, and we're in for quite a 3 days, because don't forget, right, the signing and trade freeze ends tomorrow. The draft is Friday. This is going to be a super busy 3 days.
Hey, by the way, are you back on set on July 28th? I mean, for 15 straight years, you've been threatening that you're done. You're not doing, well, what normally is July.
I'm sorry, we've lost Darren Drager. I'm sorry, we've lost the signal from Darren Drager. He's no longer on the air with us. I'm very sorry. We'll have to say you're such a bad human being. Really, if you weren't such a good friend, I would really... Well, I'd have to do something bad.
Hey, I can tell world. I can tell some world hockey stories if we have a few minutes.
We've lost Darren Drager. Time to go. You're listening to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Coming up next, Jim Rutherford.